Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Adrian Watts. I'm one of the leaders of Trinity Church, and I'd like to add my welcome to you here this evening. We're going to have a look now at the real message of Christmas. And to help get us thinking, we're going to watch a short video. Well, that is, of course, the John Lewis Christmas advert 2015 called The Man on the Moon. It is another huge hit for John Lewis, being viewed on YouTube over 20 million times. But why do people want to watch it? The ad tells the story of a young girl called Lily. Looking at the moon through the family telescope one night, she's amazed at what she finds, a man on the moon. Lily watches as he goes about his day, all alone up there. She becomes determined to get something to the moon, to send him a message and show him that someone down here is thinking of him. The ad ends with the strap line, "Show someone they're loved this Christmas." Now, if you read some of the YouTube comments, some have ridiculed the whole premise of the advert, saying, "How did the man get up there? How does he survive without a spacesuit? How did Lily get access to such a powerful telescope?" But that is, of course, to miss the point. The reason that the man is portrayed as living on the moon is to highlight how lonely he is. The man feels so alone, he may as well be living on the moon. It's about how isolated older people can feel. This year, John Lewis has teamed up with Age UK, the UK's largest charity for older people. And together, they're wanting to help lonely older people this Christmas. On the Age UK website, they acknowledge that 1 million older people go a month without talking to anyone. And it's felt even more keenly at Christmas. Their belief is that no one should have no one at Christmas. Why is it that we feel that people shouldn't be on their own at Christmas, but that they should be shown love? Age UK have their own Christmas advert, which actually continues the story of the John Lewis one. It features the same old man, and it begins with him in his little house playing solitaire. He makes himself a cup of tea and drinks it on his own. He then wanders outside to sit on a bench. At that point, the camera pans back to show the studio that the whole thing is being filmed in. That's why he didn't need a spacesuit. Then the director shouts out, "Okay, everyone, that's a wrap. Let's go home." You hear clapping and cheers from the film crew. And then, as they all leave, the noise of a door closing that sounds ominously like that of a prison door. Yet, the camera keeps rolling and remains fixed on the man, who continues to sit on the bench, alone, in silence. And Age UK is trying to highlight to us that this is the reality for many. They recognise that it doesn't have to be this way, and they want to do something about it. But why do we think that that is a good thing to do? Now, it's interesting that John Lewis have not chosen to portray the love of a lover in their Christmas advert. They've not chosen to tell the story of a young woman who sets her love on a handsome young man. This is a story of a little girl who shows love to an old man, who, quite frankly, isn't portrayed particularly attractively. Yet we applaud such love, a love that was received with a tear of joy. Why? Why do we want to show love? Is it just something we think we ought to do, especially at Christmas time? We consider it our duty. Is it just an excuse to make ourselves feel better about ourselves? We do it to alleviate our guilt. Why do we want to show love? Well, at some point in the evening, you are probably expecting me to talk about God, and in particular, God's love. I mean, this is, after all, an event run by a local church. And actually, to talk about God's love is not particularly controversial. For if there's one thing that our world thinks it knows about God, is that he's a loving God. And if people believe in God at all, by and large, they find it easy to believe in God's love. It's after all what the Bible says. John 3:16, possibly the most well-known sentence in the whole Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Yet, being comfortable with the idea of God's love has been accompanied by some fairly wishy-washy ideas of what love means. And in particular, there's a tendency for people to assume that the nature of God's love is non-judgmental. After all, Jesus did say, "Do not judge." And so if we could all just be non-judgmental and be loving the way Jesus was loving, then the world would be a better place. There's an assumption here about the nature of love. Love is non-judgmental, it doesn't condemn anyone, it lets everybody do whatever they want. That's what love means. And the world is quite happy to believe in a God like that. And so, it comes as a surprise that the most well-known sentence in the Bible is actually one of the most misunderstood. For that is not what it means at all. Many of us will be familiar with the danger of quoting something out of context and as a result misunderstanding the point of what was said. And so if we're to understand rightly this sentence from the Bible, we must make some attempt to understand it in the context in which it was written. And so at this point, let's have a little look at this sentence in its context. It's taken from one of the books of the Bible called John, and it's found in chapter 3. I printed part of the chapter for you in your handout so you can see it for yourself. But let me begin by reading it through. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Now, at this point, you might think, I was right, after all. Love is non-judgmental. It says it, sentence 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus doesn't condemn the world. He loves the world. Well, as plausible as this may initially sound, a more careful reading of this section shows that this interpretation just will not do. Why doesn't Jesus condemn the world? Read on, sentence 18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." The reason that Jesus doesn't condemn the world is because the world stands condemned already. Now, Jesus didn't come into a world that was neutral and he condemned some and saved others. He came to a world that was already condemned by God. But what then is the true nature of God's love for the world? Well, when we read, "For God so loved the world," we tend to think that the word "world" is being used to show how big God's love is. That is, God so loved the whole world everybody, all the billions of people who live on the planet. But that's not how John uses the word world in his book. The word world in John refers not to a big place with a lot of people in it, but to a bad place with a lot of bad people in it. The word world in John is a world that is turned in on itself in self-love, a world that does not love God, but pursues its own self-interests. You can see something of this meaning for yourself if you look down at sentence 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. You know, like a light that lights up a room, the sun reveals God as he really is. But people prefer to think of God as they choose. And so they reject the sun because they don't want to be exposed. That is why, this side of Genesis 3, God's love is always marveled at. In many ways, God's love is not the way it ought to be. Why doesn't he simply condemn the world instead? In the Bible, it is simply astonishing that God loves the world. But what is it about God that means he is the God who loves? Well, if we were to read to the end of the chapter, we'd find a clue. For we're told that the Father loves the Son. That is to say that there is love within God himself. In particular, that God the Father loves God the Son. And this sentence contributes to an understanding of God who is one God, yet three persons. Now, sure, only two of the persons of the Godhead are mentioned here, God the Father and God the Son, but there is also, of course, God the Spirit. And these three persons have been in a loving relationship for all eternity. God the Father has loved God the Son and God the Spirit. God the Son has loved God the Father and God the Spirit. And God the Spirit has loved God the Father and God the Son. God has been in loving relationship for all eternity. Now, do note how the God who loves is based on the existence of a very particular God. That is the God of the Bible. For example, suppose God existed as just one single person, a monad. Well, that would mean that he was a lonely figure who wanders the universe and who for eternity past has never loved anyone because there's been nobody to love. And so when he creates the world, he tries to love it a bit like a child learning to speak. But because the God of the Bible exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, there is relationship between them, and it is one of love. God knows how to love because he's been doing it for all eternity. Now, one might object and say, didn't the Son only come into existence when he entered the world? Now, how can we say the Father has always loved the Son if the Son only came into being 2,000 years ago? But that is to misunderstand what happened at the first Christmas. For God the Son has existed for all eternity. When Jesus was born, what happened was that God the Son took on an additional nature, a human nature. Now, God the Son didn't come into existence at that point, but at that point, he added to himself a human nature so he could be his people's saviour. It is in the Son's humanity that we see the full extent of God's love when he gave his life on a cross in the place of his people. Well, we began by considering the John Lewis Christmas advert. The advert promotes showing love to others, and I pose the question, why do we want to show love? And now, we're in a position to give the reason. The reason we love is because we reflect the God who is love. The reason we want to show love to one another is because it reflects the life of God himself. And this gives, I think, a credibility to the Christian message, because we're seeing how Christianity is able to explain why we are like what we are like. Now, some attempt to dismiss Christianity by saying, you don't have to be a Christian to love. But in many ways, that's the whole point. The reason that people in general love is because everybody was created by the God of the Bible to reflect what he is like. That we all love in some measure demonstrates that we are all created by him. And that's why we all need to take seriously what he said to us in the Bible. Now, this is not just a message for Christians. This is a message for all creation. It's a message for you. A message about the God who loves. Well, maybe you're here tonight and you'd like the opportunity to learn a bit more about this God. Let me end by mentioning a couple of things for you to consider. The first is a course that we run called The God Who Makes Himself Known. Many of us have never read the Bible, and our knowledge of it's only secondhand. And The God Who Makes Himself Known is a course that explains what the Bible is about and will give you an opportunity to understand it for yourself. It's made up of 7 studies. In each study, we read a section of the Bible and then consider some related questions. And it's through understanding the Bible, God shows us who he is and tells us of his plan for the world. The God of the Bible is the God who makes himself known. Courses are going to be running in the new year. If you'd like more details, please do ask. The second thing that you might be interested in is Trinity at 10:30. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 here at the Midland Hotel in the conference room upstairs on the 3rd floor. There are term cards on your tables, let you know what we're going to be looking at each week. And of course, you are most welcome to any of these meetings.